The passage or text for the sermon this morning is Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to read the first 10 verses of Isaiah 43. I'll let you turn there in your Bibles. Isaiah 43, the first 10 verses. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, we thank you for your word, and that though we are separated from each other by many miles, your word is not bound, that we can use this technology for your word to go forth. And we ask that you would grant your blessing upon the hearing of your word, that it would take root in our hearts, and that it would produce faith in us and trust in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Well, many times I've had occasion over the years to ask our congregation what is the most frequently mentioned command in the Bible. And for those that have been there, and perhaps for those that haven't, those that are good Bible students, you're aware that the most frequently mentioned command in the Bible is "do not be afraid." And we have that in our text. In verse 1, fear not, in verse 5 as well. And it's a particularly appropriate in light of the threats we're being warned of by our government officials, and which are being fanned by the media. However, you may assess the risk, and there are certainly differences amongst us with respect to whether this is way overblown or whether it's real. People are getting sick. There are people that are dying, certainly in other countries, here in New York City and across North America as well. So the concern for the leadership at Messiah's Reform Fellowship has not been to accurately assess the risk, but rather to mitigate the fear and increase the faith of people in Messiah's Reformed Fellowship. And having said that, that is the intent of this message this morning. And certainly there are many legitimate fears which we are being made aware of in the light of this viral threat. And they go beyond just fear for our health. We're told that the youngest are the least vulnerable, that those that are perhaps middle-aged are more vulnerable, especially if they have underlying physical problems, complications already besetting their frames, things like diabetes, obesity, COPD, and other things. And then the most vulnerable are the elderly and those with compromised immune symptoms. But apart from fears for health, this will affect everybody in many ways. It will affect our families. It will affect our church family. We have to resort to technology like this. Thankfully, we can do it, but it keeps us apart from one another. Many of us come from unbelieving families, and Sunday is not only the Lord's Day, but we rejoice to see each other face to face because we are our families. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And now we are unable to do that. And even if we had been together this Sunday at SDA, we wouldn't have been able to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We wouldn't have been able to have fellowship dinner, which is our monthly practice. And our weekly practice of even having bagels and coffee together, we wouldn't have been able to do. So minimal impact compared to health, but it affects our family, church family. It affects our blood families as well. And as the increasing economic impact of this is spread across our populations, we're going to see that there are fears about work, about our jobs. Members of my own family have already had their jobs impacted by this with loss of income, and that may get worse, and that creates anxiety as well. So health, family, work, income, financial anxieties are certainly fanned by this. But we are called by the Lord as his people to be a people of faith, not fear. And I want to just briefly encourage you and remind you of this in the Bible, and particularly as we are reminded of it here in Isaiah. For those of you that have not been at Messiah's Reform Fellowship over recent weeks, we have been particularly focused in our catechism service, our 10:30 service, on the doctrine of the covenant as set forth in the Bible, with all the implications of that for the Christian life. And I want to remind you that the central promise of the covenant is, I will be your God and you will be my people. And that most frequently mentioned command in the Bible, do not be afraid or fear not, is not just a simple, bold command issued from the throne of God to his people as some blank exhortation or pronounced imperative to impress our hearts and our minds, but it is ever and always accompanied by the fact of God's presence. I am with you. We read in verse 1, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are my people, and I am your God. And in verse 5, fear not, for I am with you. So it is not a dispassionate or an impersonal command that we read in the Bible. It is accompanied by the very presence of God. And he is our covenant God. He is with us. And that is why we ought not to fear. Many times it is further accompanied by the instruction to be strong and courageous, not in ourselves, but in dependence upon him. He is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, as we just sang in the words of 243. That soul who to Jesus has leaned for repose, he will never, no, never forsake, though all hell should endeavor to shake us. And the Lord is faithful. He is faithful to us as his people. And you'll notice here, just briefly, in verse 1 of Isaiah 43, I have called you by name. That's how deeply personal the relationship that God has with his people, that God has with his people is that he calls them by name. And as if that weren't enough, turn to Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16, which further elaborates on what it means that God has called his people by name. In verse 15, we're told, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. So deeply personal is this relationship of the Lord with his people that he knows each one of us by name, and that he has engraved our names on the palms of his hands. And of course, I would take this as a reference ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he hung on the cross to seal that covenant, to seal that relationship with his own precious shed blood, that as the nails were driven into his hands on the cross, it was simply engraving the names of his people upon them, that you and I might know that we have been loved with an eternal love, that we have been loved with a love that in the fullness of time came in human flesh. God became man, did not cease to be God, but became human, to be one of us, to be like us, to undergo a life lived on earth, to know what it was to experience sorrow, to experience grief, to experience distress, to experience all things that you and I experience. And yet he did it without sin, and then went perfectly obedient to the cross, death on a cross, to there have your name and my name engraved on the palms of his hands. So intensely, deeply personal is the Lord's love for our people. Let us be assured of that. In this time of distress, in the time when the world around us is panicking with respect to health, with respect to family, with respect to finances, let us be assured that God knows you and me by name, and he will never, ever forsake us. And that when he says, do not fear, it is precisely for that reason, that he knows us, and that we are his, and that he is ours, and he will never leave us or forsake us. So let us be people of faith, not fear, and let us be witnesses of the Lord's love and the Lord's grace, and let us be testimonies, living testimonies of our dependence upon him to those round about us, that contrary to the media and contrary to the world that is thrown into a tizzy and a panic by this coronavirus, we can testify that we are strong in faith because of the Lord and because of the precious blood of his Son, which sealed that relationship with us. And let us put that faith into action as we seek to love our neighbors who may be panicked, who may be fearful, who may be needy, who may be distressed financially, materially, lacking food, lacking any number of things. Let us look out for them as we are resolute and firm in the Lord. Let us be loving neighbors to them. And hopefully as we hold out a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ, we can point them to the one in which their fears might be quelled, and where they might find, in faith, one who is a refuge, one who is a tower, one who is a strength, one who is faithful, and one who is loving and will never, ever leave his people. And let all God's people say, amen. Oh, I take it back. I looked at my notes and realized I forgot one thing. Now, I realize that's easier said than done. So I'd like to give you some practical instruction. If you turn to the book of Philippians, turn to the book of Philippians in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. It's easy to say, do not fear, and to talk about the Lord's love, and all of that is true. But how do we actually go about doing that? Well, I would just give you this practical instruction. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. We'll read it in a moment. Those of you who are at Messiah's Reformed Fellowship have heard me say this many times, and of course members of my own family have heard me say it numerous times. Years ago when I was a newly ordained pastor, wet behind the ears, just a snot-nosed kid, I had my predecessor in Michigan who had 50 years in the ministry and had been through a number of battles, denominationally, pastorally, personally, in his own family, in his own life. I asked him as a senior saint who could provide much needed guidance and instruction to a young pastor such as myself. I asked him and I said, what would your advice be from your 50 years of experience to somebody new and green like me? And he said words I've never forgotten. He said, I would pray more and I would worry less. I would pray more and I would worry less. So, how can you dispel fear, and how can you grow strong in faith? Let's read Philippians 4, just a couple of words on this, and then we'll close. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a negative, there's a positive, and there's a promise. So how to increase faith and dispel fear? Well, first of all, negative. Do not be anxious about anything. Whether it's health, whether it's family, whether it's finances, whether it's anything. Do not be anxious about it. Remember the words of my mentor and predecessor. I'd worry less. Do not be anxious about anything. Then a positive. But in everything, pray. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray more, worry less. And notice, this is accompanied with a promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we want in times of threat, in times of distress, in times of unease, in times such as those which we find here? We want peace. We want that peace to calm our hearts, to dispel our anxieties, to increase our faith, our trust in the Lord, who has purchased us with the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, engraved our names on his hand, that we would look to him, that we would trust in him, realize he will never leave us or forsake us. So let us pray more, let us worry less, and let us experience that peace in the midst of all that is going on around us. Let's pray. Father, we pray that that peace of God, which passes all understanding, might be ours, that it might guard our hearts, that it might guard our minds in Christ Jesus. We are thankful for the precious promises of your word. We are thankful for that covenant relationship which is sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, your only begotten Son. We ask that you would grant us these things, that you would increase our faith, that you would dispel our fears, and that as we look in dependence to you, that we would find that indeed you are faithful. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.